Good evening and welcome to Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I'm Dr. W. Ron Walker. This class is Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy by Apostle Jonathan David. As always, I'm so thankful for the leader that we have in Apostle Thompson. I'm going to tell y'all right now, none like him. And the words that he's speaking over our lives are manifesting daily. So I believe it's our time. If you haven't read the book, Money Cometh, I highly suggest that you begin reading it and receive those apostolic and prophetic words, because God's set time to favor us has come, and he's spoken it over our lives. So if you're a part of this training center, you also have the access to the grace of God that's upon his life. Well, we are back into chapter number 5. And so let's begin where we left off. What's that distinguishing between the gift of prophecy and the prophet's ministry? Now, the simple gift of prophecy have often been confused with the ministry of the prophet. All who prophesy are not prophets, but all prophets must prophesy frequently. The gift of prophecy is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to equip the believer for effective service, whereas the ministry of the prophet is one of the ministry gifts that Christ gave to the church, which sets the believer into their specific ministry function in relation to the body of Christ. The gifts in Romans chapter 12, these are motivational gifts. They are the basic gifts that motivate and mobilize the believer for service. Motivational gifts are spiritual inclinations inside of the believer's spirit. And motivational gifts are for building up of the individual. The gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, they are charismatic gifts. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit that empower and equip the believer for service. These gifts are resident operations of the Holy Spirit. The charismatic gifts are for the building up of others. The gifts that are listed in Ephesians 4 and 11, these are ministry gifts. They are gifts of Christ that ordain and anoint the believer to function in a specific dimension in Christ's ministry. These gifts are lifestyles, and they are life messages, and they are life examples of the resurrected Christ or the resurrected Lord. What does that mean, Dr. Walker? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the prophet, the pastor and the teacher. That's what it's talking about. Those five ministry gifts make up the one Lord Jesus Christ. So when those gifts are in function in the earth realm, then we are functioning from a stacked deck. Go ahead. The ministry gifts, they're for the building up of the church. The gift of prophecy is only one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. whereas the ministry of the prophet is inseparable from the person. Prophesying refers to the gift, but prophet refers to the man. All are exalted to covet the gift of prophecy, but not to be prophets. You can't covet being a prophet. If you're going to walk in the ministry of a prophet or an apostle or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher, that cannot be conferred upon you by man. That must be conferred upon you by the head of the church. So, go ahead, read. The gift of prophecy is restricted to edification, exhortation, and comfort. While the prophet's prophetic anointing covers all the above and the following: revelations of the past, the present, and the future, and the realms of the spirit. Counsel of the ways and workings of the Holy Spirit, directions and guidance into the plans and the purposes of God, predictions of the future plans, purposes, and even judgments of God. All of these come with the function of the prophet and his ministry. You must understand that. You know, I can think of many examples. Just look at the life of Jesus. But you can go back even as far as the Old Testament prophets who were called seers. Saul went to look for his father's asses or donkeys and ended up coming back. It's revealed to him he's going to be a king over Israel. I don't have time to get into all these things. But these are the things that come from a prophet's ministry. God would put words in his prophet's mouth to tell people what he's doing in the earth realm, who to anoint to be king. All of these things come from the mouth of a prophet. It was God who sent Samuel to Saul to anoint him king. It was God who sent Samuel to David to anoint him as king. You need to read these things. Go ahead. Mighty and higher gifts are necessary to place a person into the prophetic ministry. These four gifts must be in constant operation in a prophet's life. Pay attention to this. Because when you see these four gifts in operation in a man's life, watch this now, on a consistent basis, not sporadically. Because remember, these gifts that I'm talking about constitute the ministry of the prophet. Number one is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and prophecy. The gift of prophecy comes well down the list in the order of importance among spiritual gifts, whereas the prophetic ministry is second among the list of ministries. Now, what is that talking about? In Ephesians 4 and 11, the prophet is second. But when you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says to one is given the word of wisdom. Then the another, the word of knowledge. Then it goes on to special faith. Then it goes on to gifts of healing, working of miracles, and special faith. Right? Well, no, it's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, then special faith. Then it's gifts of healing, working of miracles, then prophecy. So prophecy is number six on the list. 1 Corinthians 12 I'm talking about. Go ahead. Discerning and judging prophecies and revelations. Only prophecy of Scripture is perfect and infallible. However, this type of prophetic revelation has ceased. The fact that prophecy today is open for judgment proves its present imperfect state. The Bible says we prophesy in part. We prophesy in part, not the whole, in part. Go ahead. The first reason for judging prophecy is because of the imperfect state of the channel through which the prophecy comes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. The gift itself is pure and holy, but the water that flows out from our tap also carries the impurities of the tap. The purity of the prophecy depends upon the degree of yieldedness and sensitivity of the vessel to God. We do not know in what spiritual state or condition the person that's in when they are prophesying. Thus, for our own safety, we need to discern and judge the prophecies given. The second reason for judging prophecy is because the New Testament prophecy, the New Testament prophets are functioning and operating differently to their Old Testament counterparts. The Old Testament prophecies that were given through the prophets became the canon of Scripture. New Testament prophecies are judged today on the basis of that canon of Scripture, the written word. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, and 1 John, chapter 4, verse 1, gives us clear indication that the New Testament experience involves judging, discerning, and retaining only that which is good. This process matures the believer as he continuously learns to choose that which is good and discern that which is holy and live by that which proceeds from the mouth of God. There are seven ways to judge and to discern prophetic revelation. Seven ways. Number one, we must judge the source of the prophecy that's given. We must judge where it is coming from. The distinct qualifications of one who would prophesy is that he must receive a word directly from God into his spirit. This factor distinguishes him from the false prophet who speaks out of his mind, his soul, or his imagination. Rowing, or ra, which is both derived from the word seer, means to look at or to behold intently. This word describes the seeing, the perceiving, or the receiving of God's message. This ability to receive marks out the true prophet from the false prophet. The scripture teaches us that a prophetic word can possibly come from three major sources: through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only source of a true prophetic word. The Holy Spirit moved these prophets. The Greek word for moved is pharaoh, meaning to be born or to be carried alone, or to be driven alone by a wind. The next is through the human spirit. These are the ones who are speaking out of their own heart, when our minds, which are the place of expression for our human spirit, instead upon the Holy Spirit, the thoughts communicated are often filtered from evil and demonic influences. When our human spirits and minds are acting independently of the Holy Spirit's revelation and inspiration, then that prophetic word should be discarded. Not feared, just discarded. It is contaminated by another source. Normally, it is a deceiving or a lying spirit. And the last major source is through the evil spirit. The source in this instance is a demonic spirit. As long as the human spirit in the believer is in flowing relationship with the Holy Spirit, and his mind is continuously set upon the ways and the workings of the Holy Spirit, then there is adequate safety for the believer. A passive mind is Satan's door of entrance to influencing the believer to say and to do the desires of the evil one. Number two, judging the contents of prophecy. What is the prophecy saying, or what is it implying? We must learn to judge the actual content of the message of the prophecy. Is the message of prophecy being given in line with the canon of Scripture? The prophetic word must be examined carefully in the light of scriptures. The prophetic word must be tested on the basis of whether it conforms in content with the principles and precepts of the written word of God. In other words, all prophecy must be lined up with the canon of Scripture, which is the written word of God. It's the only true and infallible word of God. Does it line up with the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy? All that Jesus himself testifies and is presently testifying through the Holy Spirit and through his messengers form important criteria for judging prophecy. A right word at the right time brings the grace of God. Prophecy should help confirm and establish what Jesus is saying to the church present? And does the prophetic word uphold other scriptures? And is it imbalanced with the whole counsel of God? Every prophetic word must be measured in light of the whole word or counsel of God so that it can be wisely communicated. All that God's Spirit is saying is established in His Word. All that the Word is revealing is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Word are always in full agreement and in full harmony. The Spirit confirms the Word, while the Word upholds the Spirit's actions. Number three, judging by the character of prophecy. Whom does the message reveal? In the New Testament operation of the prophetic revelation, the recipient must learn to intelligently carry the message upon his heart. He has to learn to respond well to the nature of the message. The purpose of the prophetic word is restoration and the lifting up of the soul, but not to condemn it. So prophecy, you see, we get all deep, but prophecy has an impact upon the soul of man. Go ahead. When we overreact to God's message, having a negative response, our emotions and our frustrations get entangled with the precious work of the Holy Spirit, and it contaminates the character of the prophetic word. The immaturity of our character and our negative response can corrupt the nature of the prophetic word that God is giving to us. In communicating God's word, we are to portray and to reveal the character of God and God's desires for his people. The contents of the prophecy could be right, but the nature and the character of the prophecy can be Christless, thus misrepresenting who Christ really is. God's word reveals his character. God sent forth his word into our hearts as seeds to plant his character and nature into us. A good prophecy has the ability to reveal Christ. Let us not alter the nature and character of his message because of our overreaction and our immaturity. Now look, it's important to note here, the most sure word of prophecy is the canon of Scripture. You don't have to go seeking a prophecy when God's word is a prophecy all by itself. When the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, out of you reading and meditating in his word, that's the most sure and the most accurate form of prophecy. God's word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That became the canon of Scripture. So when we read the canon of Scripture, God is literally prophesying unto us. And he commands us in his word to renew our minds to the canon of scripture. Isn't that something? Go ahead. Number four. Judging by the test. See, all prophecy must go through the test of fulfillment. That's why in the Bible you hear words like, and it shall come to pass, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. Talk to me up here. See, go ahead. When judging by the test of fulfillment, we need to understand the creative power of prophecy, the imparting power of prophecy, and the conditional aspect of prophecy, and the process of prophetic fulfillment. The creative power of prophecy. Prophecy is more than just words spoken in due season. God's word is a living entity containing within itself divine power to accomplish itself. Do you hear that? That's Isaiah 55:11 all day long. You know, God said, my word that goes out shall not return unto me void of its power, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. What is God saying? Contained in my word is the creative function and the creative power to bring to pass what I speak. The matter of fact, it's already done when I spoke it. Go ahead. The spoken prophetic word releases that power to perform that which is spoken and to bring about the fulfillment of its content. The spoken word and its accomplished action, they are not two different functions, but one basic concept. A false prophet, who's one whose words are counterfeit and empty. They lack, notice this, the inner power for accomplishing the content of the word. The prophetic utterance given through proven prophets initiates a divine process that brings the prophetic message into effect in the lives of those ministered to. You don't need to go no further than money coming. Those words came to our apostle when he went to a grocery store to buy some fruits for the juicer. You have to know the story. As he walked in there, he went into the line to check out. A little white gentleman was standing in front of him and turned around. He had an 8-pack of beer. And he said to Apostle Thompson at the time, he said, money sure do go it, doesn't it? And Apostle Thompson agreed with him, you know, trying to be kind. But when he got in the car, God said to him, what did you say in that supermarket to that man? And he said he went to tell the man or tell God what he said. Because when you agree with somebody, it's just like you said it. But when Apostle Thompson went to say what the man said, money sure do goeth, he said he got the prefix go out, but out of his belly, out of his innermost being came these apostolic and prophetic words, money cometh. Then he heard it again, he said, the second time, money cometh. He said on the third time, money cometh, it broke loose on the inside of it. The fulfillment of those words is, look at what's going on, not only in his life, but in the lives of every man, a woman of God, who will honor him as an apostle and a prophet and all the other places he occupied. An evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. Don't get mad with me. He's been on the mission field. He's a pastor and a master teacher. You can't limit a person to just one place. Are you listening? But I say that to say unto you, I find no greater example in our lifetime. You know, money coming is real because I'm a partaker of those words. So are you if you honor him. See, you can't receive the words and not the man. But make no mistake about it, money cometh are two apostolic and prophetic words that's bringing financial deliverance to God's people. They are the signal of the wealth transfer, and they are the secret to its manifestation. I'll say this because we have to move on. Those words are rhema words. They were spoken and they contain within themselves the ability to bring money cometh to pass in your life. Go ahead. Imparting power in prophecy. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, the laying on the hands of the presbytery. 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou store up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. The prophetic utterances carries with it creative power that gave or channeled the gift from God to Timothy. Timothy was not just being informed about the gifting, but he received an impartation. The conditional aspect of prophecy, the life and the seed, does not become a tree unless it is first planted, watered, and nurtured to grow. God does not overstep human responsibility. The prophetic word carries with it the power to accomplish, if unhindered, yet its fulfillment may be hindered by the recipient's life. The quality of the measure of fulfillment will depend upon the recipient's ability to receive the prophetic word. We are not limited by our prophecy, but it is a stepping stone for higher things in God. A prophetic word may sometimes be hindered in its fulfillment in the life of its recipient because certain conditions are not being met. And certain instructions are not being followed. And certain commandments have not been obeyed. How do we bring prophecy to fulfillment? Do not limit yourself in your mind to just a prophecy. In other words, it's given to you in part. If it was given to you in whole, you wouldn't be walking by faith. See, because prophecy is self-containment. In other words, The prophecy itself have the ability to bring it to pass. You don't have to figure it out. It'll take you through a process to its fulfillment. Go ahead. Know that God is able to do what he said. Let faith be active and aggressive. Keep praying along the lines of prophecy. Saturate prophecy with prayer and intercession. See, Paul told Timothy, prophecy can cause you to wage a good warfare. When you rehearse to yourself over and over that which God spoke to you, it'll help you to ward off when the enemy try to tell you what God spoke to you is not coming to pass. See, God's word is a sure word of prophecy. Just like a termite is working behind a wall and you can't see it, then God's word is working in you. Huh. For it is God at work in you both to will and to do all of his good pleasure. For there shall be a performance of those things which are told us from the Lord. All of those things work in concert with prophecy. Go ahead. My prophetic counsel. Old Testament prophets moved in circuits. They went back continually to the people they ministered to before. This either increased their credibility or decreased their lifespan. When a prophecy given reveals accurately what God has been doing and is doing in the life of the recipient, it directs them to work in accordance to what God is working within them. Number five, judging by the confirmation of the Spirit, knowing the inner witness within. Judging by this means is the most objective of all the ways of proving a prophetic word. But it is only reliable if the recipient is truly abiding and walking with God. When a man is walking inconsistently in the Holy Spirit, his safeguard is no longer beneficial to him. Number six, judging by the conduct of the prophet. The testimony of Jesus' life or the minister. A tree is known by the fruit that it produces. The lifestyle, the character, and the conversations of the man must produce and bring forth Christ's likeness and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about perfection, but holiness. The gifts are equipment given for the service of God. And one is given in our lives, while the other is produced through our living relationship with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Bible says, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And you know what happens. But every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purges it. Purging or purifying comes through the word. Now you are clean to the word which I speak to you. But you are purged so you can bring forth more fruit. See, he is the vine. We are the branches. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. You read St. John 15, 1 through 7. Go ahead. Number 7. Judging through other witnesses. Seeking the counsel of the others who are walking in the Spirit. The law of confirmation must be applied to the proving of the prophetic words. And this especially applies to prophetic words involving major and important decisions and those that will bring significant changes in direction of the church and our personal lives. Well, there are exams next week, so make sure you're going through all of your quizzes. Those exams will cover all five chapters. They may even include some scriptures I told you to read in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, just to know you're paying attention. So see you next time.